A young shell-shocked soldier was seen sitting behind a tree. All around him, his friends were dead or dying of their wounds. When they found him, they asked how he had survived such a terrible battle. He said, "I was told to stay right here behind this tree. And I was told if I stayed here, I would be safe. And I lived." We might draw spiritual application from such a story. There are times when God puts us in a place or directs us to a place. Now, this direction is done through His Word, and the place to be is in Christ. And once we're there, we are taught that we should stay there. We should remain in Christ. And that's our topic today as we explore God's truth for the world.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
We're so happy that you've decided to join us today. It's always a privilege to get together and to study God's Word. And we need to realize that the fact that we have a benevolent Father who gave us this book, His revealed will, in such a form that we can study it and understand it, that's really an example of His love toward us. We need to take advantage of that wonderful blessing by dedicating our lives to a study of God's Word and our lives to a practice of God's Word. And we're very happy that you take this time to join us for Bible study. We hope that you're studying the Bible every day, but we're very happy to study with you on this particular day. Now, last week we began a study taking our text from John chapter 15. We had looked at the book of John, and a number of times, eight of them in fact, that Jesus said, "I am," and then identified Himself with some characteristic. The last of those characteristics we found in John 15 and verse 1, where Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Now, when we finished that study, we started another beginning at the same text. The two seem to flow logically one into the other. We are looking at John chapter 15, specifically the first 15 verses, and looking at the five secrets of living. Now, we began our study last week by noticing that the secret of living is bearing fruit. We can all look at a plant and know whether or not it's healthy by examining its fruit. The such is true of us in a spiritual sense. You can look at a person's life, the fruit that he bears, and know whether or not he is spiritually healthy. And the secret to being alive, truly alive, is that of bearing fruit. Now, we notice that living is much more than just being alive physically. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Before we come to the Father and have our sins washed away, we are dead in our sins. We then ask the question, how can I bear fruit? If I must bear fruit in order to show that I am spiritually alive, how can I bear that fruit? The answer was twofold. We bear that fruit by changing our lives, by growing spiritually, by producing the fruit of the Spirit in accordance with the teaching of the Spirit in the book of the Spirit, the Word of God. By doing so, we grow spiritually. We produce that fruit in our lives. We also can produce fruit by planting the gospel in the hearts of others, by teaching them the truth and then becoming obedient to it. They then will become Christians, and we have produced fruit for the Master in that sense. Now, we then asked, how much fruit should I bear? This is a vital question. It's good to be doing the right thing, but it would be a tragedy to do the right thing only to fall short of the Master's expectation in the end. We notice that we're not all supposed to bear the same amount of fruit, for we all have different talents, different abilities, and different opportunities are presented to each of us. But we must all bear as much fruit as we possibly can. Now, this week we continue the study. If the secret of living is bearing fruit, what's the secret of bearing fruit? Well, the secret of bearing fruit is abiding in Christ. It's important once we're in Christ, because we must be in Him in order to bear fruit. We were told in John 15 that anyone that does not abide in Me cannot bear fruit. So it's an impossibility to bear fruit outside of Christ. But once we're in Christ, we must abide in Him. Now, this matter of abiding in Him is vitally important. In fact, there's no way that I can overstress it. In the first 10 verses here of John 10, or rather of John 15, in these first 10 verses, 10 different times we're told to abide in Christ. 10 times in 10 verses. We're commanded to abide in him. John 15:4, abide in me. John 15:9, abide in my love. Those are commands. We're also warned as to what will happen to us if we don't abide in him. John 15:6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now that's a terrible tragedy. The fire here is clearly representative of hell and the fires of hell, the punishment that exists there for those who are disobedient to God. We find here that if a person doesn't abide in Christ, we wither away spiritually, we die, and we will be cut off and thrown into the fire. In order to stop that from happening, we must abide in Christ. But we're also given an assurance, a reward, if you will, that if we abide in Christ, we will be profitable. John 15:5, he says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. We asked the question, how much fruit should I bear? The answer was, as much as I can. And the key to that, the secret to bearing that fruit, is abiding in Christ. Now, it's also a vitally important matter because we must realize that as a branch, as one who has obeyed Christ, been baptized into him, then we can be removed. Now, I know that there are some in the religious world that disagree with that. I know that there are many, possibly even on the very station that you are watching or listening to at this time, who will gladly teach you that once you're a child of God, you cannot be lost, no matter what you do. The Bible, however, does not teach that. In fact, in our text, John 15, it teaches exactly the opposite. John 15:2, every branch in me. Now notice, this is a person who is in Christ. How did they get in Christ? Well, the Bible says the only way we can enter into him is through baptism. If we are baptized into Christ, we are his child. Now that's the branch that's being referred to here. And every branch in me that doth not bear fruit, notice, he takes away. The he here is the Father. The Father is the vine dresser in this figure of speech that the Master uses for this lesson. He is the one who will cut off those branches that are not producing fruit. Notice there's historical precedent for this. In Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 19, we see Paul here writing to the Romans. These are Gentiles who are now Christians. And he says to them that branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Now this is what the Gentile Christians were saying. Paul says of this, well said, because of unbelief they were broken off. The they here refers to the Jews. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. See, the Bible doesn't teach us that once we're the child of God, we'll be saved no matter what we do. Rather, it teaches us that once we're the child of God, we must continue in obedience to him in order to continue to be saved. 1 John 1:7 teaches us, for if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. If we don't continue to walk in the light, we don't continue to have the power of that cleansing blood applied to us. We need to understand that so that we will abide in Christ. Now, let's ask the question, what does it mean to abide in Christ? It's really a very simple answer. There's not some large theological explanation for this. To abide simply means to remain or to stay there. In this case, it means to remain with Jesus, to stay with Jesus. Now, that sounds like a very simple thing, doesn't it? But it's not always going to be easy. In John 15:4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. Now, that means that we're going to have to stay with him even through times of suffering. Paul told the Romans in Romans 8, beginning in verse 16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. All of us, of course, look forward to the time when we can be glorified with the Master, when we can sit with Jesus in heaven, when we can be in that glorified state. However, if we're not willing to suffer while here, then we will not be able to be glorified with Him, for we'll not be His. He'll not own us as His own. We are going to have times of suffering here on this earth if we live a righteous life. If we are His servant, if we do what's right, we will suffer for it. And we have to stay with Him, even during the times of suffering. It's very easy to stay with Christ during times of worship, for example, when we're surrounded by other Christians. What's difficult is to stay with Christ when we're surrounded by the enemies of the cross, those who reject Him and reject the sacrifice that He made for us. Those are the times it's hard to stay with Him, but we must stay with Him even through suffering. We must also stay with Him through times of work. There are some who are spiritually lazy. They're just not interested in going out and doing spiritual work, doing work for the Master. We need to understand that all of us have a task and that all workers are considered equal in God's eyes, provided we are doing His will faithfully. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 6, Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Now, the reason Paul referred to it this way is because he had a habit of going into an area where the Bible had not been preached. The truth had not been made known, and he would go there and teach it to people who had never heard it before. Apollos oftentimes would follow and would teach those, giving additional strength and encouragement to those who had already been taught the truth. So Paul is considered the planter and Apollos the waterer, but notice it was God who gave the increase. We also need to notice Paul's conclusion to this matter. "So then neither is he who plants anything, neither he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." See, Paul doesn't show any distinction between one worker and another. If we are workers for God, then we are equal in that sense that we're both doing the Master's will, whether a planter or a waterer. But how can we be sure that we're abiding in Christ? And if we do abide in Him, what will happen to or for us? Notice our text again, John 15 and verse 7 this time. "If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you." See, when we abide in Christ, we accomplish this by making His Word abide in us. Paul told the Colossians, Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We do need to have the Word of God dwelling in us richly. In fact, it is only when His Word lives in us that we can abide in Him. We make it live in us by studying it, by knowing it, and most importantly, by doing it. But as we've seen already, living in Christ, abiding in Him, is not always easy. There is suffering. There is great work to do, and many are turned aside by those things. We all need encouragement to remain in Christ, and we as Christians ought to provide that encouragement to each other. I'm reminded of Barnabas from the New Testament. His name means one who encourages or consoles, and we need to take a lesson from him. Barnabas was known as one who encouraged, so much so that when the church in Jerusalem learned of the church in Antioch, they sent Barnabas there. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them that with all purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. He wanted them to continue in that good path that they had already begun. We also see this carried over into the missionary journeys that he made with Paul. In Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 21, we read there that he and Paul left the city that they were currently teaching in, where they had made many disciples, and they returned. Well, why did they return to cities where they had already been? They went to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. We all need encouragement to continue. We get that encouragement from each other, seeing the good example of other Christians and receiving the encouraging words that they have for us. We also get that encouragement by looking at these New Testament examples and even Old Testament examples of those who did walk faithfully with God. That's an encouragement to us that we should continue in that path, that we should abide in Christ and stay the course that we've begun. Now, how can I know that I'm abiding in Christ? It's very important that we do know. In fact, I'm willing to say we must be able to know whether or not we're abiding in Christ. Paul told the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? We need to know. We need to test ourselves, examine ourselves, and know whether or not we are abiding in the faith, whether or not we are in Christ. The way that we remain in Christ, the way that we know that we're abiding in Him, is if we become partakers of Him. Jesus told those who were hearing Him preach in John 6 and verse 56, that he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Now, some mistakenly think that this verse is referring to the Lord's Supper, the communion that is taken the first day of every week, because of the references there to the body and the blood of Christ. But that's not the subject under consideration here. Rather, Jesus is telling these people, if you're going to follow me, you have to be a partaker of me. You have to take me in, and that has to be a part of all of your life. To be a partaker of Christ means that our whole life reflects Him and His will. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. We need to stay there. Once we're in Christ, we need to firmly plant ourselves there and not allow ourselves to be drawn away by anyone. We will be tempted. The devil will come after us. He is a roaring lion who is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he will come after us and try to pull us away with temptation. Paul knew this. In fact, we find in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5 that it got to the point where he could no longer endure it. He had to know what the state of those Christians were there in Thessalonica. So he says, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. We need to understand that in order to be alive, truly alive, we must be bearing fruit. And in order to be bearing fruit, we must be abiding in Christ. It won't be easy to stay in Christ all the time, but we can get encouragement from those around us who are living faithfully, the record of those who have lived faithfully, and the promise that God has made to reward us in the end. We also need to understand that Satan will come after us. He will try to pull us away, but we cannot allow that to happen. We can withstand the temptation if we will live with His Word in us, making this book a part of every day of our lives. Until next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.